All right, current events, September 2nd, 2015. I can't believe it's September 2nd. And it's Michigan and it's 90 degrees. Okay. September 2nd, 2015, current events. All right. When you think of Germany, what comes to mind? Strudel? See, I led the witness. I just led you. Okay, so, or baklava, right? No? Wow, you guys know your treats, right? Okay. I put that up for a reason. All right. Germany, when you think of Germany, food, some people, if there's the BMW. You guys know BMWs from Germany, right? And the best sedan out there, of course, is the 7 Series, right? All right, I digress. Okay, so the best sports car out there is Porsche 911. That's Germany. Okay, all right. Okay, we'll get serious again. All right, so what happened in 1989? The Berlin Wall came down. The Berlin Wall came down. That's part of Germany. Some other things that were associated with Germany. Anybody is that? Who's that? Hogan's Heroes, right? It's the Germany POW camp of all those people from the United States and all the insurgents, and there Colonel Klink is, okay, anyways, all right. So, as kids, that's what we associated with Germany. All right, then there's landscape, there's different things all throughout Germany. If you've ever been there, it's beautiful, but tourism, Lake Constance right there, I think it's Austria, Switzerland, and Germany. It touches all three countries right there. It's beautiful, but people, and then also the 1972 Olympics. For those of you, I was 3 at the time, so I don't remember them fondly, but I have studied. And one of the things that came out of the 72 Olympics is that, you know, there was an Islamic terrorist attacking Israelis. They had climbed a 6-foot barbed wire fence in the middle of the night. But a lot of things have been associated with Germany over the years. Now, the next thing, though, that is now associated with Germany, right now, this is right out of the news, Germany's Muslim demographic revolution. Germany is now known for the highest Muslim population in Western Europe. It is the highest. So, along with Germany, as you guys know, from World War II, with the annihilation of the Jewish people, correct? There's a lot of anti-Semitism that still is in Germany. Now, it probably doesn't help the skewed numbers when you have the largest Islamic population in Western Europe now residing in your country. The Ahmadiyya Mosque, which is shown here, is the largest mosque in there. The streets now, as opposed to watching Oktoberfest and all those different things that you see them celebrating, now they have Islamic holidays throughout the streets of Munich and Berlin regularly. To let you know, and the country just makes you see what's surrounding, the smack dab in the center is Germany, and from the Denmark and Sweden and Norway and Finland up there and into the west, the Scotland, Ireland, and so forth. Just to give you an idea of where that's centered, and you see France, which has the largest deportation of Jewish people in the last 2 years, right? I mean, and then now in Germany with going to anti-Semitic, it's getting bad. Well, Pastor, can I have some good news? Sure, it's coming to the end, right? So nearly half of those arriving in Germany, nearly half of the migrants coming into Germany this year, almost 1 million, almost all of them will be economic migrants, meaning they're not coming because they're fleeing war zones. They're coming there on their own fruition. Y'all understand what's happening? Okay. They're coming there intentionally. It's a purposeful thing. This year alone, 2015, over 1 million Muslim people will come into Germany. That means 6 million of the population of Germany is now Islamic. You would compare that to in the United States, if 1 million people came in through Germany, the same would be Islamic people. It would be the same in the United States if almost 7 million people came in at one time. So this is what's going on, but Islam is considered the fastest growing religion in Germany. Islamic Sharia law is advancing rapidly throughout Germany, with Sharia courts now operating in all of Germany's big cities. It is undermining the rule of law all throughout Germany. The government officials said we are powerless to do anything about it. It says at some point, even in the next 10 to 15 years, we can see a shift of power where we will be ruled by Sharia law in Germany. Now, once again, this is not a Christian article. Do you guys, once again, we understand this. This is a snapshot of what they see happening in Germany and what's happening. Why are we studying this? Because the Bible says there's going to be a takeover, correct? So, according to one of Germany's leading media companies, Muslim men residing in Germany routinely take there's the social system and how they do their monies and so forth. And I'm not going to get into that tonight. I'm going to save that for in two more weeks. But more than 700 German Muslims have joined the Islamic State in the first 6 months alone. I want you to understand this, that they know of. Okay, that they know of. They have traveled to Syria and Iraq, and most of them continued to receive welfare benefits from the German state while on the battlefields of the Middle East. They don't, governmentally, they don't know how to handle this. They know what's going on, and they don't, you guys, I mean, this is, Bible says they'll call evil good and good evil. They, in governments, they're puzzled. They don't understand what's going on. Why? Because someone is going to come up in the Middle East, and they're going to have a solution how to handle all of this. But you have to have, to handle something, you have to have confusion, which confusion is now being created. Next. Now, once again, when we go through current events, everything's going to be okay, everyone. Because sometimes we go through this like, no, it's going to be okay. This is just Jesus telling us, it's almost time. Get ready to go. Okay? But we have to have these things happen for the shaking to take place. Sheep and the goat stuff. Wheats and the tares. Russian jets in Syria skies. Russian jets in Syrian skies. Okay, let's take a look at the map. Syrian skies. So we have Russia in the chartreuse or salmon color, some refer to as a light pink. To the north, Syria is in the brown, a couple of thousand miles to the south, right? Just under Turkey. So the Russians are sending jets into Syria right now to fight ISIS. Doesn't matter why you get the jets in there. One, they're fighting ISIS. But secondly, they're going to be right across the border from Israel. They are going to be putting, in the next 2 months, 17,000 ground soldiers in southern Syria. Russia is. Ground soldiers. They're going to start their aerial attack this week, from attack helicopters to jets from the MiG-29s and the Yak-130 jets. They'll all be all throughout Syria. Now, once again, you guys, this is regular news. It's like, hey, this is state. This is what's going on. This is what Russia's doing. This is Syria. This is what's happening. This is who's going to be taking place. So we need to watch what's going to take place because, remember, from the Quran and the Hadith last 2 weeks, their plan, the Quran and Hadith, is to take out Syria. As a result of taking out Syria, other people are going to get involved. The United States is a little bit involved. Turkey's been a little bit involved. France has been a little bit involved. Now you have Russia that's coming in and getting seriously involved and under, right? Whether or not it's just about getting rid of ISIS or not, I don't know. All I know is there's supposed to be disruption in Syria, and this is the whole point, and the Bible said this would take place. So this is taking place. So, next. The Pakistani Muslims to refugees. This is what they stated. Convert or become slaves. Convert or become slaves. There's been heavy flooding in Pakistan, if you've watched. And it's washed away thousands of homes. And the Pakistani government has responded by offering aid to homeless Muslim families, but none to Christian families. Oh, well, that's really sad. Okay, I understand what's happening now. Yes, there's a, it's terrible for those Christian families. There's a big picture going on here. Governments are telling you right now where they're going. This is all Middle East. They're telling you where they're going. As if it were not, Muslim charities stepped up to the plate with an offer they hoped that Christians couldn't refuse. Man, this sounds like Revelations 13. Convert and we'll help you, or you will remain homeless and we will enslave you. Does that not sound like the last 42 months of the tribulation? Wait, aren't things supposed to, isn't that going to be a foreshadowing of things to come? This is right out of Matthew. This is right out of Zechariah, right out of Daniel. This is, all these things are happening right now. So when it comes to responding to flooding of Christian communities, it says they've always taken care of, but just in the last year, we've seen a drastic change against the Christian communities all throughout Pakistan. The Christians are now told to renounce their religion and convert to Islam if they want to receive any aid whatsoever. It's already taking place. Well, I'm glad I don't live in Pakistan. Yes, you should thank God every single day. We live in this greatest country that we have ever been. But it doesn't mean you don't pay attention to what's going on in Pakistan, because that is part of old Khorasan that we've been studying. Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iran. You guys remember this now? So there's supposed to be this going on in old Khorasan. This is supposed to be taking place. Next. There is a new movie coming out. I don't know if it's going to be in American theaters. Sunni Muslim clerics are furious over the upcoming Iranian film about Muhammad. It's called Muhammad, the Messenger of God. This is a film about the life of the Prophet Muhammad, and is expected to break box office records in Iran after its release, which is tomorrow. The man who created the film says, "I decided to make this film to fight against the new wave of Islamophobia in the West. The Western interpretation of Islam says that we ultimately want to become violent and terrorist." Yeah, that's right out of the Quran and the Hadith. We've actually been reading that. Okay. It's a 171-minute movie, and it's part one of three parts. So this movie, not just in Iran, but it's going to be shown all throughout the Middle East, is actually going to be required from ages 10 and up in all the schools as well. So this is going to be going also throughout Europe, starting in the spring of 2016, all throughout Europe. Well, what do we care about? Because Germany and France and all those countries have a very high Islamic rate of people in their countries. So we're going to pay attention to that. Let's see, two more to go. You okay? Everyone all right? Malaysia to introduce RFID tracking for every vehicle. Malaysia, it's in the green. It's in the green to your left and your right is Malaysia. To the north, up in, you can see the tip of it, be Vietnam and Cambodia. But in the green, it's Malaysia. In Malaysia, a new vehicle security tracking system suitable for all types of vehicles, the RFI, that's the radio frequency identification chip, will be implemented nationwide by 2016, so just in a short 4 months. Even suitable for motorcycles, the RFID will feature a smart code tag, which will be embedded on every single vehicle on their tax sticker. This new system will enable the police and other authorities to effectively track down criminals. Great. These are great things. So why are we talking about this? Because they're preparing us for everyone's going to be marked. Everyone understand this? I'm not trying to fight this. I'm not saying, oh my goodness, I will never buy a vehicle in Malaysia. This is not what this is about. This is about the technology and the softening of people say, okay, well, this makes sense to me. I don't want if a car gets stolen or my kids are in the car, I want my car back. This makes sense. So I'm just trying to pick you up on the technology is here. Now, a Malaysian authority said this is just a test program. This is a test program for not just checking the bandwidth, but any other type of problems that we might incur before implementing the larger scale within the next 3 years of everyone in the countries being chipped. Well, yeah, this is where we're going. Everybody, this is where we're going. This is what's happening. And like I said, if somebody you know is in a technology, RFID chips, all the stuff for transmitting, here's your shoe-in. Well, why would I want to tell them that? Because now you have the scriptures right there. It says, guess what? The Bible said this was going to take place 2,000 years ago, and it's happening right now. Oh, by the way, it just happened to be within the generation that saw Israel become a nation again. Oh, it just happens to be in that time where Zechariah said that there's going to be nuclear power. Oh, it just so happened it's the time of, you guys see? So one thing leads the door open for other things according to the Bible. And lastly, and we need to pray for our pastors. This is the evangelical Christian pastor in Northern Ireland, James McConnell. He is charged with making grossly offensive remarks about Islam and is had his first court date. He's looking at 10 years in prison. This is what he said from the pulpit of his 1,000-person church, declaring Christianity under persecution. Evil Sharia law is not welcome in this country, as they were chanting this. Okay, they were chanting this, 1,000 people. I'm sorry, 1,000 people chant this outside the courtroom. The pastor has waited a long time for him to come to court. He did not incite hatred or encourage violence against Muslims. He expressed the Bible in his Bible church. He believes in the freedom of speech. He's a member of the clergy in Northern Ireland. He has every right to speak what he wants, according to this by his attorney. He said, as he looked around the Belfast area, he said, you guys, this is even atheists, even people who don't go to church think this is the craziest thing they ever seen. It's ridiculous and it's stupid and they don't know why this is happening. All he did was read the Bible in his church. Men will call evil good and good evil. Preaching at his church, a traditional Protestant church, he said that it is impossible that the God of the Hebrew and Christian Bible is the Allah of the Quran. This is what he said from the pulpit. It's impossible. It's not the same person. He said the Muslim religion was created hundreds of years ago after Christ. Muhammad was even born into 570. But Muslims believe that Islam is the true religion dating back to Adam, and that biblical patriarchs were all Muslims, including Noah, Abraham, and Moses. So to judge someone but what they've heard in the past few months, you would think that Islam is a little more than a variation of Christianity and Judaism. That is not so. Islam's idea about God, about humanity, about salvation are vastly different from the teaching of the Bible. Islam is false from the Bible. Islam is from Satan. Islam is a doctrine spooned by hell. For that, he's going to go to jail. Okay? We need to pray for people overseas right now. It's very heated up. The Bible even says, watch the Middle East, watch the Middle East, watch the Middle East. You guys, all that area out there is much more traumatic. He said, I'm 78 years of age and in ill health, but jail knows no fear for me. They can lock me up with sex offenders, hoodlums, and parliamentaries. I will do this anytime as long as people know and hear the truth. There we go. So in the midst of our chaos, everyone, and the craziness of life, wake up in the morning. Okay, here we go. I never get tired of that, and I probably should. All right. Kelly does, but I don't. Okay. All right. You got your notes from last week? From this week. We should have your notes from last week, too. Notes, part 9, time of the end, part 9. We still have a couple more weeks to go on this. I thought I was going to end on this next week, but I'm probably going to go a couple more weeks, but that won't be the end of our end time stuff, you guys. We keep going, and I'm praying right now what's the next thing we're going to do, but I want to constantly draw attention to this and go through the Bible as well. But the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at the meaning of the black flags, right? The black flags, and we got into the turbans last week. What are they? What do they represent? What is this about? Well, why do we want to know so much about the Islamic faith and the Quran, the Hadith? Because the Bible speaks to it. The Bible speaks to it. The black turbans, which we started to look about last week, are worn by the Shias, which is the opposite group of the Sunnis. The Mahdi army, along with the Shias, have worn the black turbans. When you watch us on TV, when you see people draped in the black, this is a certain group that we talked about last week, and it means a certain thing. So years ago, there's a picture there at the bottom of your notes. Makhdar al-Sadr, who wears a black turban, he is over the Mahdi army. The Mahdi army, once again, is the last caliph that is supposed to come, and he will be coming from that Islam area, right? The Islamic area that's going to be Iraq and Syria. He's going to come down. So now we have ISIS, which is in one army, and it is a Sunni. We have the Mahdi army, which is in the southern part of Iraq, and Baghdad is south of that area. So we have these two groups fighting, right, wrestling against each other, but ultimately they're fighting for the same thing, for Islam to be over everything, all right? So don't even get caught up sometimes in the different groups, because they're all going to unite together. This is the whole point of ISIS is coming in, is to unite. The black turbans are worn by the Shias, and the Hadith says that when Muhammad attacked Medina, right, this is back in the 600s, he was wearing a black turban. It's interesting that the colors of the turbans can be black, white, red, or green. Why is this interesting? This is where we're kind of leaving off last week, but I want to go into the four horsemen. Last year, we did a study on the four horsemen. Four horsemen. What does this represent? So you have the black flags, the red flags, green flags, white flags. You also have the black, red, white, and green turbans. Okay, we talked about the black flags, but now we're going to go into some other things. So I look and saw, this is John seeing what's going to happen at the end of time. I saw a white horse rider carried a bow, and he rode forth conquering and to conquer. And when he broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature call out, come. Another horse came. It was flaming red. Its rider was empowered to take the peace from the earth, and he was given to slaughter one another and had a huge sword. When he broke open the third seal and heard the third living creature call, come and look, and I saw, and behold, a black horse, and in his hand the rider had a pair of scales and a balance. We're going to talk about this in a minute. And I heard what it seemed to be a voice from the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarii, a whole day's wages, and three quarts of barley for a denarii. And that was just a means of monetary system. But do not harm the oil and the wine. When the Lamb broke open the fourth seal, that's Jesus, I heard the fourth living creature call out, come. So I looked, and behold, an ashy pale horse, black and blue. In the Greek, it says green, as if made so by bruising. There's a greenish color when you get when you bruise. It's a rider named with death from Hades, the realm of the dead, followed him closely. And they were given authority and power over a fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with famine and with plagues, pestilence, with wild beasts of the earth. Now, okay, well, we went through that kind of fast. Well, it's a little recap from last week. We're going to break this down here in a minute. Also, last fall, we went through specifically that part of Revelations, and this has to do with the bowls, the seals, and the trumpets. The last 42 months of the tribulation, right, Jesus is going to open this thing up, and he's going to start. This is the final judgment upon the earth. This starts it into motion, that last 42 months. So you have this white horse, this red horse, a black horse, and a white horse that John sees in the book of Revelations. The green horse, which is sickly looking green, and we'll get back to that in a minute, but the white, the black, and the red turbans in the green. One branch of Islam wears green turbans. They believe green is the favorite color of Muhammad. So you have this group of people. They'll have these green turbans and green flags that's in green garments and different things. All they're trying to say is this is the color of Muhammad. Certain Islamic groups, that's what they will wear is green. Once again, remember, everyone's going to be united at the end anyways. Right? So as an Assemblies of God, you might have a flag. As a Baptist, you might have a flag. As a if you're followers of Jesus Christ, just because you go to church doesn't mean you're going to heaven. But if we're all followers of Jesus Christ, right? We're coming together. So it doesn't matter if you have a black turban or a white or red turban. It doesn't matter. You're all for Islam, and you're all to come against not just the Christians but the Jewish people. So the flags of Iran, Saudi Arabia, and the Palestinian groups also of the Palestinian group Hamas also have the color green. Just to, like I said, just to show you how they unite. Islamic prophets said he had to wear a green cloak and a turban. His writings are full of references of that color, the passages from the Quran, and all those things that say paradise is a place where people wear green garments and silk. What I'm just trying to give you is an insight how important these colors are, okay? Everyone, just go and say, well, Pastor, are we going to talk about more of this tonight? No, this is from last week. I'm just giving you a recap. I'm just trying to catch up. This is how important the colors are and the imagery of these colors. But in Daniel 11:38, this is what it says about the prophecy of the Antichrist. Daniel 11:38, I think it's page 5 of your notes. But in their place, the Antichrist, shall honor the God, little g, or fortresses, not our God. A God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver, with precious stones, and with pleasant and expensive things. So this Antichrist is going to come up with gold and silver and money. He's going to pay off some people for doing something. What's he going to be doing? Now we have Hezbollah has a stronghold in Lebanon. ISIS has a stronghold in Syria and Iraq. Hamas has a stronghold in Gaza. This is what Islam calls strongholds. The Bible talks about strongholds as well. But the verse says in Daniel that the Antichrist will be honoring these gods. through what ISIS has been doing throughout the Middle East now, they steal the money, they're taking gold and silver. This is on the news. This is what they do on the news. They're taking all the banks. They're coming up the Tigris-Euphrates River from Syria, going northwest right into, on the way to Baghdad, right into Iraq, taking everything that they can. Daniel 11:39 says he's going to deal with the strongest fortresses by the help of a foreign god. Those who acknowledge him, he shall magnify with glory and honor. The Antichrist will take care of anybody who joins him. As we studied, not just in Daniel, but in Revelations, there's going to be 10 kings around Israel, 10 kings and 10 nations that join the Antichrist. Does everyone remember this? How is it? Why would they join with them? He's going to pay for it too. He's going to pay for them to do this. He's going, man, thanks for coming with me. I'm going to take care of you guys. Those who acknowledge him shall magnify with glory and honor, and he shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for a price. What land? Jerusalem. How do you know that? Oh, we're going to study that. They're going to divide Jerusalem. How do we know he's going to divide it? Bible says so. We're going to break this down. The division of the land is going to take place the very near future. Not just limited to the land of Israel, but everything is going to be divided. The Antichrist, after ruling for 42 months, remember, in this Iraq-Syria area, the first 42 months of the tribulation. Once again, the rapture takes place. Everyone who's a believer in Christ, follower of Jesus Christ, bam, we're gone. The Bible says right around that time, the war of Gog and Magog takes place. There's going to be 10 nations that are listed in Ezekiel 38 and 39 that come up against Israel. Nothing happens to Israel. They don't even shoot a bullet. That's what the Bible says. They don't even do anything. These 10 nations come against themselves. Four things happen for them to do that. Then it says 42 months of peace happen. These 10 nations are still against Israel, but they don't touch it. They can't. The Bible even says, like, whoa, we can't even come against God's hand is with Israel. During that 42 months, there's two witnesses that go around and they start witnessing, hey, what you just saw was all the Christians just went. We missed the boat, but you can still receive Christ. But I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen in the next 42 months. Judgment's going to come. After 42 months, then the Antichrist wipes out Rome, Italy, where the Catholic Church is now. He's going to take out Mystery Babylon, which is going to be the Iraq, Iran, Syria area. And he's going to set up shop in Jerusalem. And they're going to divide Jerusalem, and we're going to look at that tonight, what this means. So then the Antichrist is going to, in verse 41, page 7, he's going to enter the glorious land, Palestine. And many shall be overthrown, but these shall not be delivered out of his hand. Edom, Moab, the main core of the people. So the Antichrist eventually gets to Jerusalem, and that land that he's talking about is between the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean. So we understand the area of what she's speaking. So now I want to show you something with the flags, the colors of the flags and the turbans. Here's the four colors, the red, white, black, and the green. First, the white horse in Revelation 6:2. Revelation 6:2, it says, John says, I saw a white horse, he had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. So the white horse rider had a crown and a bow, and he's out to destroy. Then there's a red horse in verse 4, that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Remember, these are spirits now that John's seen. There's this horse and this person on it, and they're commanded to go out. They're let go to go create this chaos and destruction. The black horse, Revelation 6:5, and he sat on him and had a pair of balances in his hand. The black horse rider creates famine, death, and food rationing. Revelations 13, 6, and 7, you have to have the mark to be able to eat. You guys remember this? So John sees the colors of these horses, and he goes, okay, here's the white one, here's the red one, here's the black one. Okay, this black one, okay, when this sends out. Now, when we study that, it says this happens the last 42 months of the tribulation, time of peace. 42 months, the two witnesses, bam, they're gone now. And now, all of a sudden, God's judgment starts coming out on the earth. God's judgment starts pouring out. So the first judgment is led by this. The second judgment is led by that. The third is this black horse. Now, I want to get into the black horse tonight. Revelations 13, 16, and 18. So he has, verse 6, chapter 6, verse 5, the black horse sat on him and had a pair of balances in his hand. Okay, Revelation 6 and 5, had a pair of balances. Now, the book of Revelation is set up where John sees things. He may speak for a chapter or two on earth, and he sees things, what's happening on earth. Then for a chapter two or three, he goes up in heaven, and he tells you what's going on down here. He's giving you different perspectives. So you will have a chunk of Revelation as a perspective, and you think he's moving forward with the chapter. He's really not. He's actually going, okay, now this is on top of what I just told you, and here's the different angle. Okay? So he's overlaying, so this is what he's saying now. So in chapter 6, verse 5, there's these pair of balances that this black horse has. Now in Revelation 13, 6, he's 16, he's starting to explain this. So the Antichrist is going to compel all alike, both small and great, both the rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked with an inscription stamped on their right hand or on their forehead, so that no one will have power to buy or sell unless he bears the stamp, mark, inscription that is on the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is room for discernment, a call for the wisdom of interpretation. I love this. Let anyone who has what? I love that. Penetration and insight enough to calculate the number of the beast, for it is a human number, the number of a certain man. His number is 666. Now, for those of you who grow up in the 80s, a lot of kids in high school, 70s and 80s, they wrote 666 across their knuckles, and yeah, I'm the Antichrist, right? Ozzy Osbourne, one of Pastor Dennis's, one of your favorite guys, he has Ozzy Osbourne. He have all these groups from Megadeth to Slayer, stuff that I know, Eric, you enjoy, and there's just different things that, I'm just kind of kidding, I know that's Denise's stuff. Okay, so that we have all this stuff, right, and there's just all this Antichrist stuff. Now, does everyone's going to walk around with 666 at the end? Everyone's just going to stamp their forehead with a 666? I mean, you just have a stamper and go, doing, doing. Everyone, hey, buy, sell, trade, wherever you want. That's pretty easy to come up with a 666 because in the 80s, people were coming up with it. So there's got to be more to this. There's got to be, because it says, let him with discernment call for wisdom interpret what is happening in my word, right? Because Revelation is the unveiling of all the mysteries. So the beast system, when the word says the beast, it's a system. The beast means a religion and a government. It is the Antichrist and a false prophet, okay? In Islam, they call that a caliphate. Islam calls a one-world religion and a one-world government a caliphate. Remember, the black flags mean this is the end caliphate. This is the end of time. You see flags everywhere right now. It's the black flags are out, and it's telling all the Muslims across the world, start the last caliphate. We are going to take over the whole world with a one-world religion, one-world government. The Bible says that the Antichrist, someone who's contrary to God, is going to, they call it the beast system, the beast meaning it conquers everything. We looked at the meaning of the beast. It conquers everything, gets in its way through religion and through government. And they initiate the chip, because some of the translations, it's a mark, it's a chip, all these things, to control buying and selling. So the Antichrist, and we went through this for several weeks, I believe, is going to be a Muslim based upon not just what we've read in the Bible, but even confirming what's going on right in the news. The false prophet will probably be a defective pontiff pope. How do I know that? The Bible says that the last 42 months of the tribulation, the Antichrist is going to wipe out Rome, Italy, and that is going to be an apostate Christianity. It's going to be a form of, but guess what? The Holy Spirit's gone, and there's going to be some stuff going on. Three reasons, then, why this black horse, when he comes during this tribulation, is going to control the buying and selling. You're going to have to control buying and selling because famines and drought. Does that make sense to everyone? Hey, there's only so much food to go around, right? Therefore shall there plagues be in one day, death and mourning, famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judge her. He's judging the earth. Bam, done. Number two, why would we take this mark? The rationing. By controlling or rationing the food, they'll be able to have power over the nations. What just happened in Pakistan that we just looked at tonight? Pakistan, hey, there's some floods going on. Oh, do you want to eat? Fine, convert. You see this happening now. This is like, I actually see how this could happen. That's why we go over current events. It makes what's going to happen in just maybe a few short years. This would make sense. Revelation 6:5, when he opened the third seal, I saw the black horse. He had balances on his hand, and he said, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny, and see, thou hurt no oil in thy wine. It's going to cost a lot of money to get a little bit of food. If you grew up in the church in the 70s, you used to sing a piece of bread, buy a bag of gold, remember? It's like a bag of gold's going to, yeah, it doesn't matter how much money you got because there's no food left. And thirdly, why would I take this mark? To control the food in exchange for conversion to religion. That's what's going on right now in the world. So the false prophet is going to cause both small and great, rich and poor. See, it sounds better from the false prophet than it does a military or a government leader, doesn't it? False prophet says, hey, listen, you know what? We want to make sure everyone's getting fed. We want to make sure we take care of the needy and the poor. And guess what? We're all needy and poor at the time of the end because your money doesn't buy nothing. No man's going to buy or sell or say that he has the mark or the name of the beast or the number in his name. And let he with understanding calculate that number. It's 666. So the reason people are beheaded in the tribulation is they're not going to worship the beast system. The beast is they're not going to buy into the government system and the religion. It's not going to happen. Bam, you're going to be beheaded. They do that right now for not joining Islam. This is what's happening. Last year, we went over several scenarios, but three scenarios I'm going to bring forward tonight to show you where the black horse comes into play. Here's these three things or theories about what this beast system could be. One theory was the World Wide Web. When it came into existence, the World Wide Web, and is abbreviated by three English letters consecutive. Remember www, right? Everyone, www.com. The W in the Hebrew language is vav, or a V. The numerical value in the Hebrew gematria is 6. So www is 666. Everyone goes, don't go on the internet. That is the beast. Do not go on the internet. You know, you can spend hours, right, just going online. But it's not the beast. That doesn't mean at the end of time they will not use the internet. That's how they're going to communicate. But the internet isn't the beast. Another theory is the biometric hand scanner. For example, when you go to theme parks, you guys go on to Disney or go to different things, they use a biometric hand scanner now. You just put your hand. Disney, you can only use your right hand. Interesting enough, you only use your right hand. So is Disney the beast? No. But if you've been on Small World lately, it hasn't changed in 40 years. That feels like it's, okay, all right. It's a small, okay, wow, it's the same fiberglass cutouts it was 45 years ago. Okay, so. But when you go in there, all the biometric scanners now, wherever you go, biometric scanners in your hand, they are created worldwide for the right hand only. They had to pick a hand, and for whatever reason, they chose the right hand. 2,000 years ago, John wrote that we're all going to have a chip, and it's going to be in our right hand. So the technology that's set up right now, it just happens to be right hand. Well, that's very lucky, Pastor. Well, yeah, but you know what? You can't have like 47,000 prophecies all be lucky at some point. Everything in the Bible is true. Everything that's said it would happen is taking place. So, the mark of the beast, where is this going to, is this going to be a fingerprint? Is it going to be signed to the fingerprint in your hand? You stick your card in. So, see, the technology is getting there, right? The technology. The third, one of these things is there's a theory. Here's another theory, the RFID chip or radio frequency identification. So all these three theories that I chose tonight are going to work hand in hand, no pun intended. Okay, so you have this RFID chip, you have the internet, and you have the biometric hand scanners. All these things are going to be used to buy, sell, or trade. They're using them right now to buy, sell, or trade. So the chip, this RFID chip we just talked about Malaysia's doing, India started it in 2012. They're chipping the whole country. We looked at the news. I showed you news clippings on video. In 2017, the plan is the UN wants the whole world chipped. by 2017. There is four hospital conglomerations in Virginia and Maryland. I just told you about the one earlier out in the Missouri area. They all know that in 2017, the plan is 2017. The government's always on time, so I'm sure it's going to be that. So it could be 2018, but the plan is 2017. Everyone's going to have a chip for medical reasons. It's a $10 copay. This is already established. And it's going to be inserted between the thumb and the forefinger. They're already doing it in the fleshy part. They're already doing it. The first draft of Obamacare tried to make an RFID chip mandatory, but it didn't pass. But there are several senators who have put up a fight against the chip, and they will continue to do so. But guess what? It's going to happen at some point. Why? Because the Bible says so, right? I'm not saying we can't say, oh, I don't want to take that. It's against my privacy and all this stuff. I'm not saying that. I'm saying is it's being pushed, and it's going to be pushed through. It's going to. Why? Because food is going to be rationed at some point. How do you know that? The Bible says so. And I believe the Bible is true. So Joe Biden, senator at the time, in exchange with Supreme Court Justice Roberts at his confirmation hearing in 2015, he said there's going to come a day when the RFID chips have to be inserted into a physical body of individuals. How will you rule? That was a rhetorical question because he's saying this is going to happen during your tenure. I showed you guys the video of that. You can see it on C-SPAN. Joe Biden, senator at that time, is sitting on the half circle with all these other senators in congressional hearing. They're doing the confirmation for him. He says, listen, during your tenure, you're going to have to decide, is it lawful for a United States citizen to take a chip to buy, sell, or trade in your hand? That's it. But this is nothing new. This started 16 years ago. Now, what's important about this is the chip. Now, I said, if your dog Fluffy has a little chip because you can't track it, you know, Fluffy is not the Antichrist and all those type of things like that. So there has to be a reason. The Bible says to take this chip, it's for the reason to buy, sell, or trade for a religious purpose and to follow a governmental leader. Everyone understand that? It's right out of the Bible, Revelations 13. But the current administration has told the unions in the United States that they wouldn't have to worry about the cost of this medical chip that's going to be required in 2017 because there's going to be a $10 copay. There is, in the UN right now, the company is already making the chips for worldwide. They've already hired it to be done. But these chips will last, the lithium chip, for 100 years. And if they break, this is what it says will happen. It says when the shell breaks and the lithium spills out, This is right out of a governmental report. It says a grievous sore will break out and the hand will look cancerous. If you remember, this is last year, I shared this on video and they showed what it looks like when the chip is put in right in the right hand and if it breaks. Okay, this is what the Bible says in Revelation 16:1. I heard a great voice out of the temple saying, seven angels, go your way, pour out the vials of the wrath in God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast. Now, what does it talk about? It's talking about, the Bible says once you take the mark, it's over. Doesn't matter if you take it in the halfway through, the last month, 46 months in it, it doesn't matter when you take it. And it says if you try to, the Bible says you can't even cut it out and remove it because once you take it, it's over. But the Bible also says that people, it says they'll be shocked and they'll be awakened to what they just did. And it says they'll be remorseful. If they try to cut it out, guess what? It's going to have a grievous sore upon them, just like it says the lithium battery. Isn't this interesting? This is what the Bible says. This is what's going to take place 2,000 years ago. And the report by a non-guy who's not reading the Bible said, guess what? A grievous sore will break out on your hand if you try to break it out yourself. But the Bible says this is going to happen and also said, have understanding, wisdom, and discernment into what this is. So this black horse, when he comes out, representing his spirit, of the spirit was released upon the earth, and all these things started taking place, these balances, because there's already plagues happening, there's already food shortages that are going on, there's chaos everywhere in the world, and all of a sudden says, boy, if you want this, you want some food, you want to eat, you want your family to be taken care of, you are going to have to take this mark. So what is the mark? When you go back to the first century, about 400 AD, the book of Revelation did not have 666 or the number 666. It was three Greek letters. Now, you look at the King James Bible written in 1611. I'm not saying it's blasphemy, it's heresy. What they did was they took Greek gematria, x equals 600, the xi, the zi equals 60, and the g or the 6 equals 6, stigma. So they just took that and they just translated it, 666. But that verse says, let he with understanding, he with discernment, understand what's going on here. The picture that you see on page 17 of your notes is an actual picture of a cloth from 3rd century Egyptian manuscript, 350 AD. This is what that passage in Revelation looked like. Let he with understanding understand the number, or in the Greek it says symbol. Let he with understanding understand the symbol of the beast. Did you guys see the three symbols? See that X, that backwards E, and that little, that's like a G? Okay? That first symbol, as they wrote it back there, is called chi, C-H-I. You'll see that in the next page represented. The C-H-I, the symbol X, equals 600. Is everyone with me right now? It has a value of 600. The xi, pronounced xi, the X-I, or this backwards E, is shown in the middle. It has a value of 60. Then the end, the stigma, that symbol right there, has the value of 6. So back in Roman times, you'll see not just in the Old and New Testament, they were branded when you were a soldier or a slave to somebody, they branded that mark on you, a 6 or a stigma. That meant you were a slave to that person. Does everyone get that? So that's a slave to you, you're a slave to him, that's who you follow. Now, once again, Revelation 13, 18. Let him that hath understanding count the number, or in the Greek, the symbol of the beast. Let he with understanding count the number or symbol of the beast. Prior to Revelation, do you know that there's 65 other books? Does everyone know that? Prior to the book of Revelation, there's 65 other books. In Revelation, it says, this is the last book, and I'm going to unveil every single mystery unto you. So that means there's 65 other books, and everything else is going to be revealed. So he told us something prior, and he's going to unveil all what that means. What we've been studying, and this is why I don't just stick to the New Testament. A lot of people says, well, the New Testament's new. No. You know what Jesus said? It's all good. He said, I didn't come to get rid of the Old Testament. I came to fulfill the Old Testament. I read it all because the Old Testament has so much prophecy and it's apocalyptic literature, just like Revelation is, just like John is, just like Paul told all throughout the epistles. So the number of the beast is chi, xi, stigma, right? Chi, xi, stigma. So the translator said, let's add this up and come up with 666, right? They looked at the Bible, Greek gematria, it's 666. But remember, he didn't change the previous verse where it says, let he with understanding and discernment understand what this really is saying. So we read the previous books of the Bible to understand where the 666 is coming from. So let's just say the chi, xi, stigma, instead of just being numbers or symbols, like the original Greek said so, right? They're symbols. What if they represent something that's connected to the beast? Because it is. It says the beast is going to make you take this number to buy, sell, or trade. There's something called Cairo. For those of you who grew up in the Catholic Church, or maybe you know a little about the Catholic Church, it is the first seal of Papal Rome, and it has the two letters of Christos or Christ, and when you see these two letters as a symbol, you'll see it below on the page. That is the symbol. You don't spell Christ, you just put that X down, right? Like Christmas, right? They just throw that X down, meaning Christ or Christos. Is everyone with me on this? There's a symbol that it represents. So if chi, xi, stigma are symbols, what could this X mean? Could it have something to do with Islam? There's a man named Wali Shavit. If you guys watch Shabbat, if you guys watch the news, he's on Fox, he's on CNN, MSNBC, he's on a lot of different things. And he's on a lot of Christian programming. He was a Muslim, part of a Muslim brotherhood and former terrorist who's now a born-again follower of Jesus Christ. He gives a lot of insight because he studied the Quran and Hadith. He set out to disprove the Bible and went through the old manuscript in the Greek. And when he saw this symbol from the previous page, right, this papal Rome page, this is this X thing, right? When he saw this, in his words, if you read his book, he said he freaked out. He said, it shows you that the Antichrist will be a Muslim. First, Saudi Arabia, and like this is now, this is going to bring every, the previous 8 weeks together, right? Tonight, the previous 8 weeks are all just going to just hit at one time. Saudi Arabia is the headquarters for Islam, right? Mecca and Medina. Remember we studied where did Islam start? Mecca wiped out Medina. It started in Saudi Arabia. Is the headquarters of Islam. We know that Kai is an X emblem. He with understanding understand the symbol of the beast system. When you take this chip, it represents a beast system. And this beast system is going to mean, here we go, the emblem for the civil sign for Saudi Arabia, where Mecca and Medina is, where Islam started, the two most holiest cities, where Muhammad came from, is two swords crossed over it, identical to the letter Chi, the X. Isn't it supposed to be an apostate religion? Then the symbol Zai is unique. When you get to the 350 AD manuscript and compare it to the symbol Zai, to the symbol for Allah in the Aramaic, this is what you get. Allah in the Arabic, the Zai in the Greek. See the symbols? Let he with understanding and discernment, by studying the whole counsel of God's word, understand that this beast system, could it really be as simple as 666? No. You're taking it because it says, the Bible says, in order to buy, sell, or trade, it says you must buy into the religious system and you must buy into the government and become a slave to it. This is you're going to obey what they're saying. So what Walid Shabbat said, that he, after studying Islam and the languages with symbols, is he took the Chi, Zai, the stigma, and made it out to what it says in Arabic. It says, in the name of Allah. If you put Chi, Zai, and you just look at the symbols, he says, well, if you just do that in Islam, that's here we go. That's in the Arabic language, which the Arabs started. That's where Islam started, Saudi Arabia, Arabic, Arabs. He said, if you just look at, so in order to buy, sell, or trade in the last 42 months, you have to do it in the chip representing in the name of Allah. Everything we've studied in the last 8 weeks just start come popping together right now. Everything that we studied in the name of Allah, I buy this. And I follow this caliphate or this beast system. Now, the idea of the hands and the heads being marked with the image of the beast, the name, number, and image, right out of the Bible, Shiite Muslims in Iraq or anywhere else in the world have a celebration every year called Ashura, where they take a knife and they cut an X into their head. You may have seen this on the news. Every year they do show this. They march by the hundreds of thousands all throughout the Mecca and Medina and other parts of the country that are predominantly Islamic, and they put an X on the forehead. When you study the beast, the Bible says upon the beast are names of blasphemy. The word says it'll have the body of a leopard, heads of a lion, and feet of a bear. Right out of Revelation 13 now. I stood upon the sand of the sea. John sees, he's looking out. He saw a beast, this system, a system rise up. He saw a religious system and a governmental system rising up all around him. You guys see this? So John's saying, oh my goodness, I'm sitting here and I'm seeing Israel being surrounded by a religious and governmental system. Having the seven heads and 10 horns, and upon the 10 crowns, and upon his head, the names of blasphemy. The beast, the system of the beast, which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were a feet of a bear, his mouth, the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him power, and his seat a great authority. The bear, now going back to Daniel, important in the Old Testament, New Testament. The bear in the Old Testament is Persia or Iran. So at the end of time, John saw a one world religion and a one world government coming out of one of the places, Iran. Wait, when was this written? Revelation, 2,000 years ago? And it just so happens that when Israel becomes a nation again, this is supposed to take place. When you see wars and rumors of wars exponentially taking place, when you see Israel surrounded, which didn't happen until 2012, when 7 of the 10 nations that were for Israel decided to have a Islamic overthrow, the Arab Spring. And now they're all against Israel. So the bear in Daniel 10 is Iran. The body of the leopard is the Grecian Empire. We studied the Grecian Empire. All the nations that are included in the Grecian Empire. And that lion is Babylon. We studied why ISIS wants to get rid of Syria, the boundary between Syria and Iraq, take that out, and they need Babylon because Mystery Babylon needs to come into power again. And that's the first 42 months after the rapture. And this takes up the area of Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Turkey, Greece, Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia. Aren't those the nations mentioned in the War of Gog and Magog? Ezekiel 38 and 39, they're going to come against Israel. Those also the nations that are mentioned at the end of time that are going to surround Israel, that are going to be Islamic nations. The names of blasphemy on the beast or the heads of the beast, the people who are this one world religion and one world government, this is what the Bible says. When he stood upon the sand, he saw the beast, these nations that believe in a caliphate, rise out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon their heads the names of blasphemy. Now, in the Islamic world, they all wear headbands. Many of the boys and men wear headbands inscribed with Shahada, which is the Muslim profession of faith, and it says, "There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the prophet of God." Those same young men will tell you that they believe someone named Isa or Jesus, but when asked if he is the son of God, they will respond, "Allah has no son." What is this? Why? What's the big deal? Well, the Bible says in 1 John, "Don't believe every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they're from God, because false prophets are going to come into the world. Hereby know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, they're from God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist." So John saw nations. He listed the nations by the representations of the bear, the lion, the dragon. And he says, "I saw those nations coming up against Israel, surrounding them, with names of blasphemy on their forehead." What are the names of blasphemy? 1 John tells us that anybody who does not believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, the Son of God. Well, across their forehead, they said there is no God but Allah, and he has no sons. Muhammad is a prophet. I think that's pretty revelationary tonight, isn't it? That's some revelation. Let he with understanding understand and discern what's happening. So finally tonight, the green horse. Revelation 6:8. "Fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death. A fourth rider brings death and famine to a quarter of the earth." I'm going to go through this very quick, but I'm going to tell you right, I'm getting excited right now because this is going to be enormous revelation right now. Oh my goodness, I can't wait to tell you this. Okay. The white horses, the black horses. I've seen white horses and black horses. You guys have seen white horses and black horses? I've never seen a red horse or a green horse. I'm not talking about a brownish red horse. I'm talking about a red horse or a green horse. So why, when we look at the four horsemen, the apocalypse, why are there colors connected to them? Why can't you just say, hey, the first horse had this, the second horse had that, the third. There's a reason why there's assignable things to it. He wants us to, he with understanding. Let's look at the Bible. The four horsemen during the tribulation is about the time of the end. So we have the end times prophecies and these horses and riders and the spirits that are connected to something that's causing death and famine. Something is taking place. He's let a spirit, he's let something unleashed, right? The judgment. He says, here we go. This is it. I'm letting these things fly. Islam has four types of turbans that they wear. White, black, red, and green. But now look at the Islamic flags in history. This is so huge. The white flag is the color of the Islamic caliphate when they've conquered. We looked at that 3 weeks ago. The red flag, which is new for us tonight, is the flag of the Hashemite dynasty. They're from the kingdom of Jordan. It's old dynasty. It's an old. The green flag is the Saudi flag. They chose it once again. It's the color of Muhammad. The black flag was used in the Abbasid dynasty. And that black flag is now used by Al-Qaeda at first, now used by ISIS. So you have, remember, if Iraq, Iran, Lebanon, Syria is all predominantly Islam, why is ISIS even messing this with us? Because he has to unite those four. He has to unite the Sunnis, the Shias. He has to unite everyone. Why? Because the Bible said so, and so does the Quran. The black flag, oh my goodness, okay. The black flag, the red flag, the white, and the green. There is one nation that has all four of those colors. That is the Palestinian flag. Why did the Palestinians choose a red, white, black, and green flag? Because they represent all four turbans and the colors of the four flags, representing all of those dynasties and nations that are going to be coming up against Israel. Where is Palestine right now? What are they fighting over? Jerusalem. The Palestinian flag, oh my goodness, it's right there right now on the eastern side of Jerusalem. Al-Qaeda and other Islamic nations, they want that flag to fly smack dab in the center of Jerusalem. They want Jerusalem. Not East Jerusalem only, but the whole city. They want the whole. How do I know that? The Bible says that in the last 42 months, the Antichrist, all these Islamic nations are going to come up against it, and they're going to take over Jerusalem, and they're going to trample everybody underfoot for 42 months. This is Zechariah says in chapter 14. And if you have children, you can go ahead, but I'm almost done. I got a page and a half left, and I'm so excited. Okay, Zechariah 14:1. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming when the spoil shall be divided among the victors in the midst of you. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Who's gathering them up? God's allowing that to happen. And the city shall be taken and the houses rifled and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go into exile, but the rest of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Oh, what's he talking about? Half of the city is going to go into captivity. Why is this important? Well, because in the early days, you had the Turks who had Jerusalem until 1917. We did this, oh man, like 4 or 5 months ago. Britain had it from 1917 to 1948. Then on May 14, 1948, the British mandate ended, Jerusalem being divided up into half, and the western side became Israel and the eastern side became Jordan, right? This is all history right here. It put a huge concrete wall up, dividing, separating the two, the eastern side and the western side. But 1967 war, the wall came down and Israel annexed the west and the east together. Now it's all theirs. But today, eastern Jerusalem is predominantly all Arab. It's still Jerusalem. It's still under their thing, but it's predominantly Arab. But the walls, okay. Very few Jewish people want to even live on the eastern side. Inside the city, you have a Christian section, an Orthodox Jew section, and an Arab section, and there's soldiers all throughout these checkpoints. This is what's happening right now. But one of these days is coming, and the city is actually going to be divided, and this is exactly what the Antichrist wants to do, Revelation 11:2. The court, which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it's going to be given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall be tread underfoot for 42 months. The Jews will be forced to leave the western side. Right now, they have the west. You guys understand this? But the Arabs already have the east. There's no wall dividing it anymore. But he says they're going to come down and they're going to crush it underfoot. They don't have to worry about the eastern side because the flag is already flying there. The Palestinian flag, they're going to wipe out the western. So it's going to be divided. They're going to lose the half that they have right now. Does everyone understand and see what's happening here? The Bible said in Zechariah and Revelation, Old and New Testament, this is what's going to take place. And this is exactly, ISIS is taking over borders, trying to remove borders from Syria in Iraq to form the new caliphate to bring back the Babylonian Empire, which is Mystery Babylon. Man, that was good, Pastor Grant. Thank you, everyone. This is exciting. Man, this is happening right in front of us. Okay. Sorry about that. I'm so excited. Real quick. There's four colors. The four things are going to be taking place and unleashed the last 42 months. Those four colors are represented in Islam. Those four colors mean just as much to Islam, and the church is looking at it. It's like, wait, what are these four horses? There's going to be something that takes place. And that balancing, that scales is taking that mark. It's buy, selling, or trading. And it says, in the name of Allah, I buy this the last 42 months. And the Bible says that it's going to be taken down and cut in half. How did they know that was going to take place? This was prophesied back in Zechariah 2,700 years ago. Israel just became a nation in 1948. And it just split and got the other half of Jerusalem in 1967. The Bible's true. If the Bible's true about that, you can better believe 1 Thessalonians 4 is true. He says when the skies part and Jesus comes, bam, we're popping out of here, everyone. Amen? All right, let's stand tonight. You guys get this tonight? Whew. If I don't know Jesus, tonight's the night. Tonight's the night. As I share with you before the night, those two people who received Jesus Christ, who's one of my family members and somebody I went to school with, if tonight could be your night, I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads tonight. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you. Your word is true. How exciting it is to live at this time. How exciting it is. But for those who are listening at home right now, watching this, I don't care if it's on Facebook, Vimeo, listening, whatever that is. As we even started off tonight, the word says it's your desire that not one single person should have to perish. In your word, as we've been reading and studying, not just tonight, but the previous 8 weeks, the time is so close to this time at the end, and even in the next 4 or 5 weeks as we continue, something is taking place that only God, only you could have foretold and told us it was going to take place. It's just incredible exactly what's taking place. You said even 2,700 years ago in Zechariah, this would be taking place. For those, like I said, listening right now, it should be confirming, hopefully, in your spirit tonight that God, He foretold us in Isaiah 46, he said, I told you at the beginning of time what would happen at the end of time. If you need to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, maybe it's your first time, maybe you've done it before, but you've fallen away from Christ and it's just your life is a mess. I'm not promising you all your problems are going to be fixed overnight, but I am going to promise you is that once you're in the kingdom of God, He says, and you've all your sins are forgiven. He says you can move forward with that burden just lifted off of you. But now you have to follow Him. You have to get in His word. You have to show and you have to walk by faith every single day that His word is true. Regardless if you believe that the ramifications of it in the natural, you have to believe supernaturally that all His words are true. So if you would just repeat this tonight, not everyone in this place, just for those either at home or even tonight amongst yourself, just ask Jesus Christ in your heart, say, Dear Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me from all my sins, be Lord of my life. I want to follow you the rest of my days. I never want to be the same again. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer, as we continue to stay in this, just one moment of prayer. Just keep your head bowed. If you said that, Bible says if you confess him with your lips that he is Lord, to ask that you don't want to go back to how you used to be. Today is a new day for you. Forget about your past now. It's time to focus on the future. It'll help you navigate maybe some of the troubles and struggles that you've got into. But all I know is, God, that your word should quicken every single person in here, that the people around us, our family and friends who are dying and going to hell, we need to pick it up. We need to get on our knees. We need to start praying. We need to start fasting. We need to start being those people. But even I ask for the retaining of what even we took place tonight and understanding what is taking place around the world so we can speak to someone tomorrow when they say, hey, did you see this current event? Just like how I spoke to this person, this past, a family member on Saturday. He wanted to know what's going on in the world. As I told him, his heart instantly, the Holy Spirit started to work on him. It made sense to him. As I talked to my friend last night, God, only you know, I didn't do anything other than I just spoke a word and I was prepared to speak it. That's all you're asking us, to be prepared to lay that seed down. And when the opportunity comes, lay it down. We can't make anyone receive Jesus Christ, but you said we can be that aid and we can help the Spirit and be that person that's there even to pray with them, to lead them to wherever to talk them. So I just pray and I thank you for the opportunity we have every single day to be that light. We are light. We're a city on a hill. Be with us all tonight. And Father, I just pray that if we're here together next week, that's okay, but I would rather be in the air with you. We give you the glory tonight. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. See you here, there, in the air, everyone. Have a great night. Have a great week.